The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The Eagles are at the podium, and we have you covered here on Bleeding Green Nation. Shout out to SB Nation, of course. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow my work at bleedinggreennation.com. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. That's K-I-S-T. This is part two of our At the Podium Organized Team Activities Edition, also known as OTAs. First up is Howie Roseman, followed by Joe Douglas. They both answer questions about the current roster and their NFL draft philosophy. Then, after the break, you'll hear from Fletcher Cox, who talks about his role on the team and how his offseason is going, among other things. Before we get to that, I'll remind you to check out the latest BGN Radio special where me, Benjamin Solak, and Brandon Lee Gouten, may he forever reign, got together to make a decision on who the Eagles should select in the 2019 SB Nation Writers Mock with the 25th overall selection. You don't want to miss that. Also coming up later today is the QB Sco Show. We're going to be giving our final thoughts headed into the NFL draft when it comes to the draft prospects at the quarterback position, and we'll continue a series in which we look at the quarterback rooms of each division in the NFL. This time it's the NFC South. We'll probably talk some history in Game of Thrones too, because why not? It's the offseason, right? All right, enough of that. Let's go to the podium.
Yeah, our goal is to try to take the best player available, try to accumulate a lot of good players for our football team going forward. And I think we look at it as an opportunity for not just now, but for the future.
Howie, we watched you with the theme of trying to build this team from the inside out, meaning the trenches. What is the criteria and philosophy in terms of what you look for in the trenches on both sides?
Well, we want guys who fit our scheme first. You know, there will be a lot of players in this draft on the defensive side, for instance, who are more suited to a 3-4 than a 4-3. We want guys that our coaches see the fit, and it's got to match from a front office and a coach's perspective. But there are a lot of good players on both sides of the ball, not only in the trenches, but throughout the draft.
How do you view this year's crop of running backs? Because there seems to be a consistent theme. There might not be a running back taken in the first round this year.
Yeah, I think every year the draft has strengths and weaknesses, but you can find good players. And at the same token, we made the trade for Jordan because we think Jordan's a really productive player. He's third in the National Football League in rushing yards since he entered the league, which is a huge accomplishment when you think about the talent at that position. We also like a lot of the guys that we have in the building right now, young players that we continue to develop and that have helped us win a lot of games.
Howie, there was a point where you would draft by need. That would, that's go back a few years. But it, obviously now, you draft by quality of player. When did it change and why did that change?
We got to learn lessons from our past. And, you know, me in particular, I've been humbled by some of the mistakes that I've made in terms of valuing certain positions over what's the best particular player. And it stares you right in the face when you go back and look at those drafts and you go, hey, we really like this player, different position, but we went into the draft saying we have to get X. And that's why we try to take care of as many needs as we possibly can during free agency and go into the draft and just say, we don't know what we're going to need a year from now, 2 years from now, and these players are long-term players for our team.
When you look at the depth,
what kind of gentleman are you, dude? You cut her off.
Thank you, Howie. It seems like this offseason you guys have been retooling and maybe not rebuilding, and you say you don't want to get younger for the sake of getting younger. So how do you take that approach now?
Yeah, I think that the draft gives you the opportunity to get younger. And over the next 2 years, we anticipate having more picks than we've had the last couple of years. But by the same tokens, we're looking for good players. We just want to retool. We don't want to rebuild when we have this amount of talent on our team. We have a lot of players who are under long-term contracts, too, who should be part of this for a long time. So we look at the draft as kind of separate than free agency and whatever we got on the team. And that's kind of how our process will be. Back, baby.
Versatility that you have in positions like DB and offensive line, how much did that help you narrow the draft process in terms of what you're strategizing for?
Well, I think we're looking for versatile guys. You know, Joe talked about it a little bit. We talk about positionless players in a league where it's a matchup league, offensively, defensively. So when you have guys, when you have offensive linemen who can play tackle, who can play guard, who can play center, I mean, Isaac's been such a huge, valuable player for us because of his ability during a game to step out and play tackle, you know, go in and play center, play guard. Same thing at DB, to have guys who can play nickel, who can play outside corner, who can move back and play safety. I mean, that's a huge value for you in a league that you're going to have injuries. You're going to have a loss of games to players. You're going to have players in the middle of game who are missing time. You have 46 guys on your roster. So those are things that we look for. Those are those traits that add to the value of the player.
Howie, when you look at those first three picks you have specifically, you said earlier, you know you can't hit on every pick.
Mm-hmm.
But the importance of really trying to nail those and make sure you can get some impact players in for this year to kind of want.
Yeah, I think the higher you are in the draft, the better the success rate is. And even the higher you are in the round, the better the success rate is. So, you know, we'll just stick to our process. We'll stick to our board. We'll try to accumulate as much information as we can to make good decisions. And I feel like we've done that in the past few years here.
Howie, how much is one coach?
Like, it's like a wind gust. They put us in the wind gust in the shade. I mean, what do we got? It's all the sunshine.
How much is one of those?
Should work out. You're like sweating from this coming down. I think Gunn's secretly hoping it collapses on my head. I'll be on TV's bloopers. It'll be great. Thank you for having my back.
One of those intangibles, how much is it, hey, this guy is going to fit on the offensive side just right for our system, or this guy is going to fit in Jim's system on defense? How much does that factor in if it gets close between the two players?
Fit's important. Fit's important. That's why we spend so much time with these guys. That's why we bring them in the building. That's why we spend so much time talking to our coaches about what they're looking for, how they view a player. I think the worst result for us is bringing in a player that, you know, the coaches don't see in the same way. And then we get frustrated, they get frustrated. So we try to minimize that.
Howie, when you have a draft where there's not necessarily a need right away, does that make it more...
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Is it easier to trade back or make trades? Like if you're not desperate for a position, maybe you're not trading up, but...
I think the most important thing is it's your opportunity to get a difference maker, really a self-made Eagle difference maker where you're not signing them in free agency, you're not trading for them, you're raising them, you're growing them in your system. So if you have that opportunity, you don't want to pass on that.
Does what happened with Russell Wilson change anything as it relates to the Carson decision? Big contract.
Should I have given him two questions, you think? I should have let one at a time, you know? 2019 draft. Howard, what do you got? Yeah.
Okay. Howard, when you look at the linebacking situation, two questions. First of all, do you feel you have a needed linebacker? Number two, how do you grade this linebacking class?
I think the first part is we're always looking to improve the talent level on our team at every position. You know, we win with a talented roster. We want a talented 90-man roster. We want a talented 53-man roster. So at every position, we're not satisfied at this moment. That being said, we brought in some people that we think can help this team, that we think are going to surprise people. We have some younger players that are going to continue to grow. When you look at the draft, when you look at the linebacker position as a whole, it's changed. It's evolved. You have some guys who used to play linebacker who are moving to safety. The bigger linebackers now moving to defensive line. So there's not as many in the draft as there used to be because the position has changed. A lot of times you're playing nickel, so there are only two guys on the field instead of three. So, you know, we look at all those factors.
I think this draft is, there's been a lot of comments about how good the draft is across the D-line, but I think there's plenty of other positions where this draft is good across the board. So, you know, without getting into the specifics of the positions, there's probably about three or four positions where this draft is really strong. And so, you know, that shows on our board, and that's probably going to play out on draft night.
Joe, looking 3 years into your tenure here, how much of what you're doing now is you having your own style in comparison to a direct correlation of what you learn in the office?
You know, I've learned a lot from Ozzy, but there's only one Ozzy Newsome, and he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. So I think everyone has their own unique style and what they bring. And just for me personally, I've been blessed to be around a lot of great people in this business and had a chance to see how things were done in Baltimore, see how things were done in Chicago with a mixed staff, and see how things are done here with people coming from different perspective and different viewpoints. And, you know, touch on something that Howie mentioned earlier. I mean, you know, we're tasked by Jeffrey, and we're all big believers in how we've brought together a staff of different viewpoints and perspectives, and we all come to the same conclusion. We all speak our minds, and we all have strong viewpoints, but at the end of the day, we respect each other's work and respect each other's decision.
Joe, recent years you guys have drafted and were signed local running backs. And saw you at the pro day with Quell and watched
right.
him work.
Right.
What did you see from him? What do you think his chances are? And what was that interaction like? Because obviously Swell Dew's working with him pretty closely.
Yeah, it was a great day. Take a little field trip up north to Temple, and that's been a great program. They've done a great job the last few years, and I expect them to keep doing a great job up at Temple. But Quell, they had quite a few guys that helped themselves and had good days, and Quell was one of those guys, and we had a chance to spend some time with him, and he really made the most of his opportunity. He was competitive. He was in shape. He did well. He caught the ball well. I mean, there's a lot of things that he did well. You know, the evolution has been that there's been consistency, you know, within our staff, within our group. This is year three, and we've all been together. So we've gotten to know each other more. We've gotten to see the types of players that we each gravitate to, because, you know, everyone has a type of player that they're looking for. And we've been able to get on the same page. And I think that's been the most important thing over the last 3 years.
Joe, I want to ask you about one of the Philly kids, Nasir Adderley. You know, he ran in his pro day, and he didn't get to finish his 40. His hand kind of grabbed him.
Right.
So, like, when that happens, does that impact your decision? And across the board, how does that influence decision makers as it relates to a guy and his chances at the end?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, he's not the only case where that's happened. And there's been plenty of years where, you know, there's been talented skill guys that haven't been able to perform or run at their pro day that have gone on to be really good players. Just with Nasir, you know, like we were talking in the media house, you know, he's a guy that's a versatile guy. You know, he's a guy that's played 2 years at corner. He's played 2 years of safety at Delaware. So that versatility should aid him.
Joe, how easy or how difficult is it when you guys get close to your pick? You've got phone calls coming in, chance to trade out. How do you kind of filter that out a little bit and be able to focus on the fans?
Yeah, we have a process where we try to make calm out of the chaos. But there is a lot of information going around. I mean, it's fun. It's fun. But, you know, I feel good about the processes we have to make that as detailed and organized of a process as can be, you know, even though it does get chaotic.
You talked about how you have a lot of strong opinions in your room, and that's what you want, a lot of opinions. When it comes down to it, who has the final say?
You know, at the end of the day, you know, Jeffrey has the most important thing to him is collaboration, and we all work together. Howie at the end of the day is tasked with making a lot of tough decisions, and so, but we all have the viewpoint, we all have the chance to speak our mind, and we all have the chance to, you know, not all be on the same page at first, but all get on the same page at the end of the day.
Joe, you guys just re-upped the guy who was a first round draft pick in Brandon Graham. And his story to get from the early part of his days where people were like, I don't know if this is going to work out, to making one of the more iconic plays in franchise history. Can you talk a little bit about how sort of that maybe typifies the way people overreact early to especially when a guy's a first round pick?
No, that's a great question because, you know, ideally a first round pick or really any high draft pick, they're picked, they come on campus, and they shine right away, right? I mean, that's everybody's ideal pick. And for some guys, it's worked that way. For other guys, it hasn't. You know, we've had two examples of that where guys may not have the start that they want. They go through adversity, but they're able to pick themselves up and come back and perform at a high level. And, you know, those are the guys you root for, you know. And, you know, at some point, these young guys are they're gonna be challenged. They're gonna hit rock bottom, and they're gonna have to be able to pick themselves up and dust themselves off, and show that they can withstand the adversity.
How do you view this linebacking class coming out this year?
You know, I think there's a lot of guys that can play four downs. You know, the linebacker position has probably evolved a lot over the last few years with the spread offenses, and you know they're being put in a lot of difficult situations where, you know, whatever they do, they're wrong with the RPO game. So this is a group of highly skilled and talented guys in this draft. So we'll see how it plays out over the weekend.
We'll do a couple more. I thought it was interesting when you guys talked about the gadget players now, how they've evolved in terms of restructuring the draft. How much does that alter the draft process specifically for a need to a certain style of offense?
You know, I think it depends specifically for you know, each coordinator around the league and, you know, what they do. You know, there may be some offenses that don't have that kind of player. I think you do see more and more offenses that do. And so you've seen that kind of permeate through college football, and it's making its way up through the pro ranks. And, you know, I think the value that's put on players like that, it's just dependent of each individual team.
Joe, we've seen you guys take some risks in drafts. I mean, last year, Jordan Mailata, when we first met him, he hadn't even put on the helmet yet.
Right.
And, you know, you guys draft him, and he took a pretty big leap by the end of the preseason. Saw that with Sidney Jones. Can you talk a little bit about the dynamic inside your draft room and taking risks and saying we're willing to take a shot on a guy when maybe other people don't?
Yeah, you know, I think by the time that decision's, you know, made on draft day, I mean, we've gone over probably 1,000 scenarios on each each pick, and you know who's there and you know what their fit is. Specifically, you know, for a guy like Jordan, We didn't necessarily feel that was a risk because our coaches did such a good job in the preparation and meeting with Jordan and spending time with Jordan, and that, you know, we knew we were going to have a good fit with him coming in. You know, that being said, I think everyone's excited about Jordan, you know, based on the preseason he had. But I think it's also important for people to remember that this is year two of football, you know, not just professional football, but football. And so, you know, he had a really good preseason game in week four of the preseason. And everyone's excited to see how he does coming back in this offseason. So, you know, everyone's excited about Jordan.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you gotten to talk to Malik Jackson at all? And how do you think you guys will fit together up front?
I talked to him right after he signed. You know, I was excited for him. You know, happy for him, you know, most of all. And that's for anybody that signs with us, always happy for those guys. Talked to him this morning, and you know, we had a little conversation about just life, you know, just how is he doing, how's his offseason been, you know, what's been going on, and haven't talked too much ball yet because, like you said, we just got here.
Health-wise, where are you? Did you have offseason surgery?
Offseason, you already.
Well, I'm not
but nah, yeah, yeah, I did. I had a procedure done this offseason, and everything is going good, so I'm happy about that. I'm just taking it day by day.
When do you think you'll be back on the field, OTAs or later than that?
I mean, the goal is to be, like you said, you know, ready for training camp. I think, like you said, just taking day by day. The doctors, all everybody got a schedule, and I'm following what they're doing, and you know, everything's going good so far. And you know, training camp is a goal.
What are you able to do right now? You able to do any running or anything?
I mean, right now I'm just, you know, focusing on rehab and, you know, just. Doing whatever I need to do to get back on the field.
Is it that the injury you suffered in the playoff game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just that when I left the game, obviously with an injury, and that is the injury that happened in the last game.
How frustrating was it for you to be dealing with that in that, especially in a game that was as close as it was?
I mean, the biggest thing for me is I'm never, like, normally I can you know, get dinged up real quick and come right back, but you know, when that right there happened, I had to go to the back to the training to the locker room a couple times, and know, my main thing was to finish that game. And, you know, for those guys out there, man, I always said, you know, I give up a limb for those guys. And, you know, and that's why I get so much respect for those guys.
Hey, Fletch, how excited are you to get Vinny back in the defensive line room?
I mean, Vinny's great. Vinny's a really good friend. Obviously, we got drafted together, and I'm excited for him and to be back here. He's the thing about that, he knows the system. He knows how everything goes around here. He knows Coach Peterson. He knows those guys upstairs. And now all you got to do is just dive back in and just, you know, get back to where he used to be, you know, when he was here, having fun, you know, winning football games and being competitive.
And piggybacking off that, Brandon's back as well, having that energy in the locker room.
I mean, always having BG in the locker room is great because, you know, Brandon is always smiling. He's always bringing, you know, good energy, good competitiveness, you know, in the meeting room, in the locker room, on the field, no matter where we are. You know, he always want to challenge you, and that's the thing about getting Brandon back, and I'm excited for him also.
Well, now you're saying that. What do you know about Jeffrey Simmons? And, you know, this is the guy that some other draft analysis have compared to you style-wise. Did you know him personally?
I don't know him personally. I've talked to him. I've watched him, and you know, he's a really good player. I think that, you know, whoever drafts him, they are making a really good choice. You know, obviously he had the injury while he was training, but, you know, I think for him, you know, whenever he's back healthy, whoever drafts that kid will be, you know, really happy because, I mean, he just dominates people as you see on tape.
Do you see any similarities between the way he plays and the way you play?
I mean, I can see a few things. Obviously from where I'm at, but when I was in college, we did some things together. But obviously, I think once you get to the league, that, you know, he'll learn some things. That same thing I did, learned a lot of things and about the NFL and how to attack things differently. But at the same time, you know, he plays aggressive all the time. And you know, his work ethic, the way he, you know, just play hard, I see that a lot.
This is supposed to be a great defensive tackle class. Do you look at these guys at all? Are you interested in that in any way?
I don't work upstairs, man.
Oh, I think
the biggest thing for me is to worry about and, you know, trust the people that they bring in. You know, no matter who they bring in, what position, I know what their position is. They're bringing him in for a reason, and that's to help his team win.
The coaching staff changed a bit. What do you know about Phil Daniels from your time with him these past few years, and what's he give your group?
I think, you know, having Phil, you know, obviously I had a really good relationship with, you know, Coach Wilson, you know, with him coaching me in college and then coming here, helping the city win, you know, a world championship, and I appreciate that, him doing that. But, you know, and that's just part of, you know, coach's decision, and I got nothing to do with that. I think, but Coach Phil Daniels, just being here with him, I think it's going to be good for the room also, because, like I said, not a lot will change. Maybe some drills will change. It's not like the whole defense is going to change, but maybe some drills will change, the way that the coaching will change. But I'm excited about Phil, and you know, I think everybody in the room is excited about him.
As a player, he's a fairly high-level player. What perspective does he have as a D-line coach that's unique, because he's been where you guys were in the field?
I mean, you got a guy that's played, like you said, for a long time in the league, and, you know, he understands, you know, some of the looks that maybe you get on film are, you know, maybe you can do it, maybe you can't. But I think being realistic about it is the realest thing that you can do about anything in any situation that you're going through.
I know you really haven't had a chance to talk to Malik about football, but what can him being next to you do for you?
I mean, it can do a lot. I think, you know, we got a chance to, you know, we're going to spend some time together, and there's nothing that can happen overnight. It's just things that got to build during the season. Him being next to me, just learning how I play, me learning how he play, him learning how I play certain things, how he rush and I rush, it's going to take some time. You know, some of those things we can pick up on during, you know, in training camp. But most of those things, the important things, I say will happen actually first, second, third, fourth game of the season, where we actually get those game reps.
The last few years you've had ends moving in a lot of times on passing downs with BG and then Bennett last year. Malik's probably going to be that guy next to you on third downs. Does it change anything when you have a guy who's probably played more defensive tackle and more inside rushing than when you have him rushing aside next to you aside? As opposed to the ends?
I mean, I think it's going to change a lot because, you know, you have a bigger body there. You know, you have, you got a guy that's playing every down. And, you know, with him being that bigger body there and more presence, I think with the help that, you know, he can really, you know, he's a Pro Bowler. People are going to respect him also. He's won. He know what it takes to win. And now you just can't slide the protection to one person.
Is the offseason, like, a lot more relaxed for you this year as opposed to last year? I mean, you guys were coming off the Super Bowl. You had a street named after you in your hometown last year and everything. Like, I mean, is it more relaxing feeling this offseason? Does it make you more determined?
My offseason is always relaxing, you know, no matter, you know, what the situation is, because it gives you time to get away from football. It gives you time to get away from the building to just enjoy life and be around family and what's, you know, what's important to you besides football. And that's the things that also makes me happy, just being around people and just not, you know, when it's during the season, just it's football every day, all day, every day. So I think, you know, none of that stuff changes because, you know, you still have a life to live outside of that.
You sat in this chair this time last year and talked about Defensive Player of the Year as your goal. What are your goals this year? What are you thinking about for this upcoming season?
I mean, for this team, man, I mean, I just want to win. You know, we need to pick up where, you know, where we left off last year, and, you know, it wasn't good. But I think we need to just, you know, just not shoot ourselves in the foot certain things that was unrealistic of us, uncharacteristic of us, I would say, during the regular season. And, you know, for this team, man, we just need to focus on us and make it about us and not anybody else.
How important is Chris Long in this locker room?
Chris is my guy, you know. Obviously, I can't speak on his behalf of you know, what's going on, but you know, Chris he's my guy, and you know, I talked to him yesterday. So we talk a couple times a week, and it's probably not about football. It's probably just, hey man, how you doing? What's going on? You know, that type of stuff. But he's important to us.
Will you lobby to try to get him to come back, or do you let him make that decision on his own?
No, I mean, like I said, man, Chris is a friend, and I don't talk to him about, you know, what's going on in his football situation. I think, you know, that sometimes that kind of pushes people away from you when, you know, you're trying to do something or help someone make a decision that they don't want to make.
You said that you talked to Simmons. Was that in kind of like a mentorship capacity, and what have you come to learn about his character?
I mean, I talked to him a little just during it, you know, when he was playing during the season, you know, just really just how he was doing, just keep dominating, you know, just tell him what to expect within the next couple of months, tell him how stressful it was, and just always just keep calm, because I've been through that process, and I know what it is, and I know what it's like, and I know the feeling. And at the end of the day, you can't control to what team you're going to. All you can do is just expect to show up and work.
As far as that mentorship, locally here, you've got guys like Trevon and Bruce, young players behind you. How do you take your role as a leader with those young players?
I mean, just taking those guys and, you know, the main thing for me, just taking those guys and showing them what they're doing right, you know, then kind of bring them back and show them what they're doing wrong or what they could do better. And myself included, if I'm watching a breakdown of a film and I'm doing something wrong, well, I don't skip over that. I say, hey, I should have done this in this situation. And now just, you know, I just got to teach myself just not to try to do that again. But nobody's perfect. But with Trevon and Bruce, I mean, those guys, I mean, they learned the system. And, you know, they just got better week in and week out. And you can't do nothing but respect guys like that.
Hey, Fletcher, if you look at last year, between Jernigan's injury, Nada was in and out of the lineup, how important is it for your production to kind of have that stable player next to you like Malik could be, and even that rotation there like you've had in the past?
I mean, the biggest thing, I think, you know, this is football and guys get nicked up. And, you know, sometimes you don't have control of that. I think that, you know, Haloti went down. You know, Timmy did everything he could do to get back. You know, his injury had to take his time. And, you know, he made that push to get back. To, you know, towards the end of the season, to help us make a push and get to the postseason. You know, Haloti was, you know, he got hurt, and, you know, at that point, you know, I knew I had to kind of elevate my game a little more, because, you know, obviously, you know, with guys down like that, and you go in the game, you got to elevate your game a little more and then push the guys that's next to you to be better. But, man, bringing Malik in, like you said, man, it should be really good for us. It's nothing that's going to happen overnight where, you know, I can just sit here and talk about it and talk about it. It's a process, and we just both got to believe in each other and to get it done.
You took on more of a leadership role last year. I guess it's been a kind of a process, an evolution process for you, and you've always been kind of a more lead by example than by words. But is that something that you're more comfortable now doing, standing up in front of the guys and talking, or do you still prefer to kind of –
I've always been able to stand up in front of the guys, you know, but, you know, and anybody know I'm not a big rah-rah guy, but I think, you know, at some point in my career that I had to go ahead and step up and start being more vocal and start letting guys hear my voice, because it's crazy. It's sometimes, you know, well, all the time, if, you know, if I'm speaking about something, you know, and as a player and to another player, I've got his full attention. And, you know, and at the end of the day, he's appreciating that no matter what I say or what I did to try to show him just the leadership and the things that I was, you know, trying to get across.
Do you feel comfortable calling guys out if maybe they're not doing their jobs?
I'll go talk to a guy. You know, I don't want to just yell at anybody. You know, I just go say, hey, man, you know, we need you here or we need you there. And I think a guy respects that more than me calling him out in front of 40 people.
Fletch, when you look at, you know, guys at defensive tackle coming, you know, out of the draft this year and everything, you know, like it seems like a lot of teams are looking at guys like that and get after the quarterback. Do you think, like, you know, guys like you, Aaron Donald, and some of the other guys kind of change the perception of how a defensive tackle is used?
I mean, absolutely. I think now that, you know, we're in this new era of you know, defensive tackles and the defense is really, especially the way we play defense and the way Aaron played defense, that's to all the dominant D tackles in the league. You know, it's, the list can go on. But I think, you know, getting after the quarterback is pretty pretty real right now in the NFL, because a lot of teams, you know, pass the ball a lot and you need one or two guys in inside to get after the quarterback.
So along those lines, you were obviously a high first round pick. Do you find, looking at the position now, that most really difference-making defensive tackles are high picks?
Right. Yeah, you can say that. I can say that. But, you know, Chris Jones, he's what, I think it was a second-round pick. He had 14, 15 sacks last year. So, I mean, I just can't say that the most dominant D tackles are, you know, picked in the first in the top 20 of the draft. So, I mean, just it's all about guys and their work ethic and, you know, how good they want to be.
You mentioned the changes, Fletch. Since you came into the league as a rookie, how drastically has it changed the role of just defenses in general?
I mean, it's changed a lot. I mean, obviously the league is protecting the quarterback more, and, you know, you got to be smart about it. But, you know, getting after the quarterback doesn't change. Me slowing down doesn't change. The way I rush the quarterback doesn't change. I think it's all the little things that happen to want to get back there.
Thanks,
Cool. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah.
G and